Today's daf in Mesechet Sota, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Chof Beis. And the last sugya that we spoke about yesterday was the idea of someone who is Korah V'Shana V'lo Shimesh Tamid HaChomim is considered to be an Amoret. Today the Gemara wants to look further into that. Itmar, Korah V'Shana V'lo Shimesh Tamid HaChomim, Rabbi Elazar Me'Areza Amoret. So Rabbi Elazar says, yes, it's considered to be Amoretz, which has, of course, very important implications la halacha, because an Amoretz is considered to be not believed when it comes to the Takon of Demai, and therefore his Maisras are going to be not trustworthy. Furthermore, an Amoretz is considered to be Tamei in terms of being Metamei in anything which is Mekabel Tuma from a person who wasn't makbid on Tuma, and therefore if an individual is oichel chulin b'tayra and so on, his things are going to be tamei because of an amaretz, which creates problems for truma and so on. Fine. So it has a very important elements to it. So according to Rabbi Elazar, that itself, the fact that he is ignorant, even though he may be extremely well-read in terms of Chumash, in terms of Mishnah, he's not considered to be Begeder HaChover. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Omer, no, it's worse than that. Areza Bur. A Bur means that he's not going to have any Midas either. It's fascinating, it's quite necessarily. But in any event, that's the Sheet of Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. It doesn't make an Afkamina La Halacha. There's no difference in terms of a halachic quality, which is called Bur, versus a halachic quality that's called Amoretz. But Lamaisa, the issue would be that he's a low-level individual. Rabbi Yanai Omer Arezakuti. No, it actually does have halachic implications. Because someone who is not Mishamish Tamir HaChomi, you would have to look at his lechem that he made, or his wine, you would have to look at it the same as Akuti. Why? Because the Kuti is not Shomer, the mitzvahs of the Rabbanan, and he doesn't care about the Rabbanan. So if a person is not makpid on what it is that the Rabbanan paskin, then you have to be nervous about everything, the same way that you were nervous about the Kuti. We gave them dinim that you shouldn't eat pat Kuti, you shouldn't drink the wine of a Kuti. That's true about this person, even though he may be a Boki in Torah. Well, yes, Tere Shebeksav, the Kutim are also Bekiyamin. But since he's shown very clearly that he has no interest in pursuing what it is that the Chachamim have to say about things, so then you have no idea where he's holding in terms of what he would actually be makbin on. Rav Acha bar Yaakov Omer, the right way to look at him is that he's a magush. Magush was the word, the magi, that they used, of course, for the various magicians and so on. These were all people who were basically fooling people by doing tricks and so on, pretending to be true magicians. And therefore, this person is the same thing. He makes himself look like he knows Divrei Torah, and he gives the class and the shul, you know, between Mincha and Ma'ariv, but he's not Mishamish Tamid HaChomim. So if he's not Mishamish Tamid HaChomim, he's basically a magician. He's trying to pull the wool over people's eyes that they should actually believe that he knows things that he has no understanding of. So because of that, he should be looked at the way you would look at a magosh. Omer Nachum Bar Yitzchak, I could tell you that the most reasonable thing is like Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, because that's basically this idea of magosh. That's, people make fun of these magicians, you know. So you know what people like to say all the time? When they want to make fun of somebody who doesn't know what the heck he's talking about, so they say, Ratin Magosha Velo Yoda Mayoma. This magician, you know, he's saying all these magical incantations. He hasn't the slightest idea what it means or anything. It's just simply something that he has been taught, you know, utter these things and abracadabra, but he doesn't know what abracadabra means. So Bimela, the same thing as over here, Tani Tana, Velo Yoda Mayoma. It's exactly the same thing. The guy is saying over Mishnayos, And he thinks he knows what he's talking about. And he might as well be saying over magical formula, because it doesn't mean a darn thing without the Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. Tanya Rabbana. Ezeu Rama Aretz. So now, this is a fascinating issue over here, because the truth is, the meaning of the words Ezeu Rama Aretz is very unclear, as Tosus points out. And if there were one meaning to the concept of Ama Aretz, then we would end up with an immense number of contradictions. I mean, here we're saying, Rabbi Meir says, Kol She'eino Kore Kriyat Shema Shachris Arvis, and Rabbi Meir himself is the one who says, Kol She'eino Ochel Chulin Betara, as Tosus points out. So this is definitely not the way to understand it, as a simple meaning. There's one concept of Ama Aretz, and that will be Koveya all of the dinim legabe Meiser and legabe Tyrus and so on. No, there are many, many issues. We hope El Roi doesn't fall off of his horse over here taking all of these pictures. But I must say, it's quite a ride there, El Roi. Beautiful. So there's many different meanings of the idea of an Ama Aretz. So Tosis brings, it could be Nogea, whether you're Mekabel Eidus. Now, Mekabel Eidus, technically, from a person who's an Ama Aretz. And there's a question of whether he's supposed to be Mitzurev to a Zimun for Birchas Hamazon, or whether he's believed in terms of Perashvias, or things that you need to rely on a person to buy because he's a mumcha. You know, so it would be Nogea, let's say, Treles or Tfilin and things like that. So the question over here is, the level of Ne'emanus is much more complex than simply making a black and white issue, which would explain why we have these various levels, even according to the same Mandiyamar, of what would be considered to be an Ama Aretz. So Memela, it's difficult to know precisely what level we're talking about in Nogea LaHalacha over here. So here Rabbi Meir says, somebody who's not Kuri Kriyat Shema, Shachrit Va'arvit, the question of Birchotea seems to be mistaken here, so it doesn't appear in other places, says Rabbi Meir. So because if he doesn't even know how to read Kriyat Shema, this is the way Rashi understands it, he doesn't even know how to read Kriyat Shema, so then he's completely and totally out of any real connection to anything that would be based on Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. Chachomim Omrim, Kol She'eino Meniach Tefillin. Benazai Omer, Koshe Inlo Tzitzit Bibigdo. If the guy wears Arba Kanfot and he doesn't have Tzitzit in them, so then that means he's saying over Kriyat Shema, but he doesn't have any idea of what the implications are. He's made Edut Sheker Al Atzmo. Rabbi Yonatan Ben Yosef Omer, Koshe Yesho Banim, Veino Megadlan Lilmot Torah. He has children, and he's not Makbeda, but that's also Beferish in Kriyat Shema. So he's reading Kriyat Shema, and he doesn't realize that it has implications that are mechayev him. So these are all examples of Kriyat Shema, the actual reading, applying the Kriyat Shema l'gabit tefillin, applying the Kriyat Shema l'gabit tzitzit, applying the Kriyat Shema in terms of the education of his children. Acherim omrim, afilu korei v'shone v'lo shimesh talmidei chachamim, Zeu Ama Aretz. Actually, others learn the way that we said before, Aliba de Rabbi Elazar, and that there's an addition to the concept of Ama Aretz, Halacha Lamaisa, where he actually is not makbid on knowing what it is that it actually means that he's learning. So that is the underlying means in the Magda Tanayim, is the Shita, apparently, that's going Aliba de Yamor that we said before, Rabbi Elazar. So zeo afilu kora v'shana v'lashimish tabedur chachomim zeo ama aretz. How about if he was kora, but he wasn't even shana mishnayis? That's a boor. Lo kora v'lo shana? That's an animal. Alav ha-katuv omer, v'zorati et beit Yisrael v'et beit Yehuda, zera adam v'zera behima. This person is literally like an animal. Yirat Hashem b'ni v'melech. Im shonim al titarav. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, what does it mean, im shonim al titarav? It means don't get mixed up with the wrong kind of people in life, you know? I mean, by the goyim, the wrong kind of people might be bank robbers and so on. But in the Pasuk in Mishlei, the wrong kind of people are shonim, elu sheshonim halachot. These are people who are bekiyim in the Shulchan Aruch. Don't get mixed up with those people. They're dangerous people because they pasken halachas without having the slightest idea what they're talking about because they were never mishamish talmidei chachomim. Well, I mean, isn't that pashut? How else would you read the word shonim? That's what shonim means. People who read halachas, right? I mean, in those days, of course, the word shonim was, there were no halachas other than the etzem mishnah. So it would mean people who were learning mishnayos. However, I mean, the Marsha speaks out beferish that someone who today spends his time learning the Shulchan Aruch and paskins things from the Shulchan Aruch is the meaning exactly of the same thing of reading Mishnah at the time of the Gemara without knowing what you're talking about. So that he says exactly the same thing. This becomes a big issue because there are a lot of drachim in various institutions where that's what they do. They mainly teach people to learn the Shulchan Aruch. There's a lot of discussion about that Marsha. And actually, Shiloh was brought to Reb Meisha many years ago because there were those who were tining that that was only said when the Mishnah only had a Mishnah. If you have all the Pirushim, if you have a Shulchan Aruch that has so many Noisei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch that it basically lets you know how to apply it. I mean, so would we say the same thing over there? So Reb Moshe actually writes in a tshuva that there is no such thing as a text-based concept of Shimesh Tamidei Chachomim. The idea of Shimesh Tamidei Chachomim is specifically and uniquely to be able to learn from a living mind in terms of interaction. It doesn't matter how much you end up parsing the detail of what's written in the Shulchan Aruch into more and more things that are written, but no matter how you do it, you never are going to be able to reach the understanding that is necessary in order to know the derech of the Talmud and the way that a mind works subtly in examining these issues. That's how Reb Meisha paskens of the Gemara saying this. It's quite obvious. What else could shonim mean? Well, I might have thought that maybe the idea of shonim means shonim bechet. There's a concept of losing one's sensitivity. So, memela, if you know that there's people, they'll go in and eat at a place without a good action. They're not makbid. And to them, it no longer feels like they're doing anything wrong. That's very dangerous. Once a person loses his sense of what's appropriate or what's inappropriate to do, so then it becomes second nature that such a thing wears off on you. So you have to be careful. Now, that's what I would have thought it would have meant. So Kivan, since Ravuna says that Kivan Shavar Adama Virava Shanabo Hutralo, that it becomes in his mind as if it's total heter, Kamashma, and that's why Rabbi Yitzchak wanted to tell us that no, that's not what it means here. Shonim is not Shonim Bechet. Shonim is the simple meaning of Shonim, which is what it always means, which is those who learn Mishnah. Tana. Hatanaim Mivalei Olam. Tanaim, of course, at the time meant people that say over Mishnayos all the time. So now we're talking about our Mishnah, which mentioned at the end the dangers of Mivalei Olam. So the Braita says, Tanaim are also Mivalei Olam. You can't mean that seriously. I mean, Mivalei Olam, I understand that they may not get anywhere in their learning, says the Gemara, but I mean, they don't hurt anybody else, do they? So why are you calling them Mivalei Olam? Mivalei Olam means not just that their madrega is not going anywhere, but Mivalei Olam means that they destroy the people around them. Omer Avina, yes, because what happens in the end is that they are Morin Halacha Mitoch Mishnatan, they become such Bikiyim in their Mishnah, which could be in their Shulchan Aruch, that they're Morin Halacha based on what they know, even though they don't really have any full understanding of how it would be that it's applicable. It's this, the subtlest issues sometimes that a person who isn't Mishamish Tamir Chachamim, he doesn't know that the issue even exists. Halacha is kama v'kama, to be able to distinguish the halacha from one situation to another. So because of that, they end up being Mevalei Olam. Tanya Nami Hochi. Omar Rabbi Yehoshua, how can you say Tanaim are considered to be Mevalei Olam? V'chi Mevalei Olam hein? Don't we say that all the time? Halichot olam lo. Haltikra halichot, right, ela halachot, person who shona halachos b'chol yom. So now you're saying, no, those people, they destroy the world. We said that those are the one who build the world. Haltikra bonayach, ela bonayach, you're driving me nuts over here. Which way is it? So the point over here is, ela, what we're talking about over here, those who would be meirin halacha mitoch mishnatam. But the actual lima to become a baki gadol in the halachas and the mishnayas as they're stated, of course, that's a tremendous madriga. Okay, so once we talk about we started talking about the first cases of mevalei olam, the chasid shaita, let's go move on to the other issues of mevalei olam who were discussed in the Mishnah. Of course, we need to understand why this issue of mevalei olam is part of our sugya in Sota. Isha Prusha. What exactly is an Isha Prusha? Tana Rabbana. Isha Prusha is examples. Bitula Tzalyanit. So you've got this girl, this lovely young girl, and she spends her days praying. Almana Shovavit. You've got these old women, and they're walking around from house to house all the time, being very shovavit. This comes from the same word as a moshava. You know, so basically, they're very neighborly, one could say. So they know everything that's going on, and they're, you know, that's the matchmaker. And it's okay, so everybody, she's in everybody's house, she knows all of the families and so on. And everybody looks at her as like, you know, the important person in town. Katan shaloka lulo chadashav, and a child who hasn't grown up properly, which more we'll discuss what's that supposed to mean, hare elu mevalei olam. So in other words, what we assume is that these people, is that the people that overdo things are people that are liars, and they're trying to create an image. People that are interested in image are generally trying to cover up their real life. And what's important to them is their image. So what's so wrong about their real life? There's got to be something awfully wrong about that. So if they're putting on this kind of show, so then there's something terribly wrong. It's an interesting Ben Ish Chai that speaks it out. Ben Ish Chai says, look, anybody who is serious about his Avodas Hashem, you would never guess in a million years, passing by such a person, that this person is a tremendous tzaddik, a tremendous chassid. He will always appear to be just like everybody else. And therefore, if there's someone who has no akpada on keeping his own maisim and his own approach to life private and between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's, by definition, creating a brand. He's essentially trying to put up a model life of some kind. Why is he doing that? It's obviously not because it's real. And the way he puts it, the Ben Ish Chai, is everybody knows it. There's no one that he's fooling. And it's immediately apparent to everybody that this is all fake. That's what we're talking about over here. We're not Chas V'Shalom saying that there can't be people that are real. But when people put on a show to that extent, there's nobody that doesn't smile to themselves. Oh, what's going on around here? That's what it's talking about. Now, is that really true? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan said, I don't know. I mean, I learned mamish, the getter of Yirat Shamayim, from a girl like this. You know, that she was a beautiful girl who was a tzalyanit. She used to pray all the time. And I learned kibul sachar from an almanah that used to go around from place to place. You're making fun of it. And I could tell you that to me, I don't know, this was a real lesson. I'll tell you this story. Yirat chet mi betula. Rabbi Yochanan once heard a beautiful girl, and she was davening, and she was nafla apa, she had fallen on her face. It's a very interesting word, because nafla apa means that she was saying tachanun, and the place can bring that really a woman is ptura from the filas sapayim. She doesn't fall on her face. The question is it mutter, is it nice, okay, whatever. But anyway, he overheard her tefillah. And what she said was, Ribono shel olam, Barata Gan Eden uBarata Gehinom, Barata Tzadikim uBarata Rashaim. Look, I know that basically in this world, some people are going to get massively screwed up. Some people are going to be big tzadikim. I understand all of that. I just don't want to be the object that allows people to screw up. And I know I'm very beautiful. Do me a favor. Please make sure that nobody, Yiratzom Lefanecha, Shol Yikashlu Bi Bnei Adam. I don't want people using me as the object that drags them into Gehenna. Okay, now that's what I call a tefillah that takes into consideration not oneself, but even many people would say, you know, they should all drop dead. If they want to feast their eyes on me, let them drop dead. And it's not my problem. On the contrary, they want to turn me into an object. Here we see that this is a getter of a real Hashem Shamayim in terms of her tefillah. To me, a woman who cared that much, that she not only cares about herself, but she cares that she shouldn't even be a way in which other people suffer. That, I think, is a beautiful tefillah. And I learned, Kibul Sechar Mi Almana, there was this almana that had a Beit HaKnesset in the neighborhood. For some reason, she always used to come, and she joined the tefillah in the yeshiva of Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Rabbi Yochanan didn't like that very much, because it looked very, what's she doing over here? I understand, like, but she's got her eyes on one of the boys over here. He didn't understand what she was doing there. So, ko yuma havi atio matzo be medrasha de Rabbi Yochanan. So one day Rabbi Yochanan said to her, biti, lo beta knesset b'shvivutach, why do you come here? In your own neighborhood, you've got a beautiful shul. You don't have to walk across half the city to get to me. So she said to Rabbi Yochanan, amra le Rebbe, v'lo sechar p'siot yeshli, don't I get extra schar by walking longer and davening in the yeshiva? So what do you have against the fact that I want to have more sechar? I should get sechar p'siot. It's very interesting. The Morgan Avraham actually brings this lahalacha. And he says, you see from here that there actually is a getter of going out of your way to be mekayim mitzvahs. That the more out of your way you go, the more there is a concept of sechar p'siot, to be able to be more involved and more interested, which is the mirror image of what we were talking about before, of people who don't even care enough to be able to find out, and so on. I learned a big lesson from it, said Rabbi Yochanan. This is the Morgan Avraham actually paskins it. I don't know if anybody else who paskins it, that there's an inyan specifically to go beyond, but it's brought the Morgan Avraham. And it's, I believe the Mishnah Berurah actually brings it, from what I recall. So in any event, I saw from there, says Rabbi Yochanan, that I learned concepts from these people. I learned Yiras Chet, and I learned the idea that there's an inyan to search for a deeper asiyah, which leads to deeper sachar, that a person can want to find more sachar in his maizim. So how do you say that these people are terrible people? I think they're wonderful people. Says the Gemara, well, obviously they're wonderful people. What do you think? We're making a rule that what? And there's something about women that make it different than men. I mean, this the Mefarshim speak out. Obviously, there's no, on the contrary, says some of the Mefarshim say, if anything, women are usually more real than the men are with these phonies. The only reason we bring it this way is because of the fact that the way that the Torah brings usually the union of Kishuf, and we're going to see that there's Nogia Kishuf in a moment. So because of that, it's spoken about as a Betulat Salyanit. And obviously that case of the Betulat Salyanit is the contrast to Rabbi Meir's Betulat Salyanit. Anyway, but what we're talking about is Kika Omar Kigon Yuchani Bat Rativi. We're talking about this famous real witch. I mean, she pretended to be, you know, like this tremendous tzaddikess, and she would go around and tell people that her tefillahs are the tefillahs that are going to save all of the sick people. And what she used to do is she used to do kishuf to make people sick. Particularly, she would have, I mean, it's weird stories, but this is voodoo stuff, classic voodoo stuff. This stuff was, by the way, when I was a kid, it was so real that it was still usable to actually govern the entire country of Haiti. Some people pronounce Haiti, but in any event, they used to actually rule the entire country with voodoo. It's like incredible. So somebody would say something against the government, they would cut it the next morning, they'd find this voodoo doll in front of their house with a little pin going through their heart, and the guy would inevitably die of a heart attack within the next week. People were terrified. And so they like, amazing. It was, they had this whole secret police, what they called the Tutu Kats, a weird name anyway. And they would go around doing voodoo. They didn't need to shoot anybody. They just needed to do voodoo. So this woman used to do voodoo. What did she do? She took these little voodoo dolls of embryos, you know. So you make a voodoo doll of an embryo, put the voodoo doll into a jar. Now that would mean if she closed the jar tight, that the embryo couldn't get out of the womb. Okay, so she made it impossible for this woman to have a baby. So then this woman was going through hell, so she would run into the birthing room and she would say, "Oh, I'm so sorry that you're having such a rough time giving birth. I'll go daven for you." So she went and she would pretend to daven, and then of course she would open up this jar and the woman would give birth. And say, "Ah, what a tzaddik is, what a tzaddik is." Anyway, so one day they found out because she had hired somebody to clean the house, and she found one of these jars, and she opened up the jar. And anyway, it's a cute story. But in any event, so this woman, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about phonies, you know. My katan shalom. But what's that third one, that thing about katan shalom kololo chadashav, a child who hasn't properly grown up? What's that referring to? So in Bavel, they said, achatar gimel, this is a Talmud Chachama Meva'ed Barabotav. This is referring to a Talmud, and he's not Mechabed his Rabbanim. And because of that, so since the Gemara says that a person who is not Mechabed Tamid Chachamim, particularly his own Rav, so he is going to have a curtailed lifespan, we call him a Katan Shlokol Olo Chadashav. In other words, this is a child that is never going to properly grow up because he's going to die before he matures. That's how they say it in Bavel. Rebbe Abba says this means basically a Talmud who is not ready to be Meira Halacha, and he gets up and he's like an immature, as a Katan Shalom Kol Olo Chadashav. He's like an immature infant, and he's going around thinking that he's an adult. The Omer Rebbe Abba, Omer Vun, Omer Rav, here, of course, this is Shlomo Melech always uses the metaphor of a whore and what it is that she does, how she messes people up. So this is Rabim Chalalim Hipila, the Pash, this is the way that he presents the Pasuk. It's talking about this vicious woman and so on. That's the same idea of we use the Yuchani Barativi in the same way. It's the wet dream woman, you know, Yochanan Borativi. So, yeah, right. This is exactly a big tzedekes, exactly the same thing that we say. So when Shlomo Melech refers to the Torah as being able to be destructive, he's talking about Rabim Chalalim Hipila. This is talking about a Talmid Chacham, Shlo Higia Lohora'a, Umored. Note the Lashon of Hipila. Hipila is the Lashon of Nefel. Nefel means Shelo Kolo Lo Chadashav. That's an embryo that is not yet full term. So it's talking about, it's very seductive for a non-full term pregnancy for the child to believe he's already arrived, so to speak. So if you have a kid who's learned a little bit of learning and he thinks he knows everything, and now he's ready to tell people the halacha. And Atsumim, Kol harugeha, Atsumim is also a lashon of otsem. Otsem means that you don't speak out what you could. You keep your mouth shut. That's the opposite. That's a Talmud Chacham that is roi to be mora halacha, and he doesn't want to get involved. Ve'eno more. So even though people need his psak, he refuses to engage. So he's otsem piv. I was otsem enav mirot bara. Atsumim kol harugeha is the same thing at Talmud Chacham, shekeni gielo ra'a, but he's not mora. So, I mean, what is the point at which a person is considered to be mature, actually? So, va'ad kama, I mean, you're not giving us any shir, he's saying an immature person. What does that mean? It means ad arba'im shnin. He has to be at least 40 years old so that he has bina, because the Mishnah says ben arba'im lebina. Before that, you should be busy learning, not busy telling other people what the halacha is. Any? How's that possible? By the way, some learn arboim shnin means not 40 years old. It means 40 years worth of learning to do first, like we find, you know, with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, so ad arboim shnin, is that true? But we know that Rabbah, who was a descendant of Beis Eli, we've spoken about this many times, because of the curse on Beis Eli, he only lived 40 years, and he was certainly I mean, he was a mucker for halacha, so he couldn't have said all those halachas after he died or in the last minutes before he died. I mean, what do you mean? Arbaim shnin. He only lived 40 years. No, that is different if they're shoving. What we're talking about is that if there is someone that is capable of doing your work and you want to get involved, there's somebody older than you, so let that person do it. Somebody greater than you, let that person do it. If we're talking about shavim, that you know that there's nobody that is more than you, that's different. So then you're allowed to. And then the last thing the Mishnah completed with, this is really funny, is makot prushim. Like the thing that really messes up the world are these really frum people that end up, we call it prushim, of course, means ascetic people, you know, so they're very makbid on X, Y, and Z. So, I mean, this is really, I must say, it's a bit cynical, but okay. The lashon of the Mishnah, makot prushim. Well, you've got all types of makot, okay? You've got prushim that are like shchem. So that's called porush shichmi. We'll explain each one of them later. Then you've got the porush that's always stubbing his toes, porush nakofi. And then you've got the porush kizoi. You've got the other kind of porush, who's always sprinkling his blood on things. This is the most hilarious one. So I guess the Gemara explains, what is the porush kizoi? To be makizdam means you're always bloodletting, right? So this guy's always bloodletting. Why? Because he'll always walk down the street holding a sefer in front of his head, which means that he always bumps into lampposts and he sprinkles his blood on walls, on lampposts. And if you tell him, why don't you look where you're going? He says, I'm nervous. I might see a beautiful girl. So I always hold the sefer in front of my head. So don't think this is new stuff. Okay. So we call him the makizdam. He's the guy who's the bloodletter. Then you have the Porush Meduchya. This is the guy who looks like he's a pestle. And we've got a Porush who's always saying, Ma chovati ve'esena. And then you've got the Porush out of great love of getting sakhar. And you have the Porush who's scared to death of hell. So let's go through them all one by one. The Porush Shechemi. Okay. So what do they do in Shechem? Well, they really went to town with Avedas Hashem. They all got this bris milah. Of course, the only reason they got this bris milah was to be able to get the girl that they had raped and so on. But that's what this guy is like. Very, very frum. So he's also Meiser Shechem. The Porush Nikavi. That's the guy who's always hitting his toes. That's the guy who walks around with such tremendous anova that he never lifts his feet off the ground. He's always shuffling. So since he's always shuffling, he's always stubbing his toe. The poor guy is in agony all the time. But when you see a guy like that, get out of the way. And then we've got the bloodletter. Yep, here's the bloodletter, the Porush Kizoi. Who's that? He's the guy who busts his head all the time because he refuses to look at where he's going, claiming that he doesn't want to see a girl as he walks. Then you've got a Porush who's like a pestle. What does that mean? Omer Rabba Bar Shila. This guy is so bent over to show his great anova that he can, it looks like you could pick him up and use him to pound away inside of a mortar. He's Mishapa Ki Meduchia. It looks like a Meduchia when he walks. You can't even tell that there's an upper part and a lower part to his body. And what's this one about? The Porush who's always going, Ma chovati ve'asenu. That sounds okay. The guy says, just tell me what I need to do, and I'm ready to do. Wow, sounds like he's like a big tzaddik. Hamal yutai, isn't that a nice thing? No, it means you left out one little word. Tell me what more I can do. That's the word, not what I can do. Tell me what more I can do. In other words, I've already done everything. If anybody can figure out some additional, I'm ready and willing. So, ma chovati tu ve'asenu, because I'm so perfect. I challenge anyone to find something that I haven't been mekayem. And what about a porush mi'ava and a porush mi'ira? Is that bad? I mean, so the guy does all of these mitzvahs out of a desire, avat asachar, or fear of onesh. I mean, I understand that that's not very mature, and as the Rambam says, it's not the correct derech aveda, but as the Rambam paskins, you're allowed to be that way before you mature, and you're even allowed to teach your children to act that way if they're not yet ready to understand what life is about. So therefore, set up, I have a rabbi to the Tana, you should not include. That's not a good thing to do, because there are people that's what they can do in life. You can't tell them don't do that, and that we make fun of it. Because remember the Omer of Yonomerav, Lo'olam yasok adam mitorah mitzvot afilu shalolishma, shemitoch shalolishma balishma. And therefore, these people should not be made fun of in any way. You know, you want to be frum, be frum, because you want to get zachar, you want to be frum, then you can, you know, do things because you're afraid of chet. There's a very beautiful mimer in the Ale Shur, which actually says that what I just said is wrong. And what he says is, that sefer was written right about the time that this concept of frumkeit, he actually writes that word, frumkeit, he writes it in Yiddish, was discovered. And it was like this new hanhaga. And remember, it was very much against the entire approach, both of the Hasidim and the Misnagdim. Because the Misnagdim were very focused at the time of doing mitzvahs and being machman halachas and so on and so forth. And the Hasidim were very makbid on Dveikus Lashem, but not ideas of frumkeit. So he addresses this phenomenon called frumkeit, and he says an amazing thing. I mean, he remembered that the Ali Shur had training in, he went to university and so on, and he was trained in psychology and so on. So he said that this idea of frumkeit is not to be confused with this Gemara of Mitoch Shalolishma and so on, and that the concept of frumkeit is actually a brain function in which people have this natural tendency to want to be taken care of and close to a power greater than them. And he says that that's what the pasuk means, that the pasuk speaks about animals being frum, because we talk about it all the time. B'nei Orev Asher Yikro, Akvirim Shoagim Latoref. He says that's not a metaphor. It means that there's an animal level sense that's built into at least the mammalian brain of wanting to be taken care of. And in that sense, they pray to the Lord. But that madrega, he says, is never going to allow a person to develop, because development has to come from das, and this is instinctive. He actually writes the word in Hebrew, instinctivity. These are animal instincts that lead a person to look very religious, but they're basically no different than the animals that are discussed in Tehillim in various places, in which the animal also searches for God. But that is not, and I'll read to you, even if I might put on this, afilu im yachmir al atzmo chumrot rabot. Doesn't matter how many chumras a person takes upon himself, he's never going to get to Lishma. Lishma lo yagia. Because it's absolutely necessary. Zeo ha'echreach, shenivaseset avodateno davka al das, and not on instinct. He says some pretty vicious stuff over there about religion, I gotta tell you. You know, a frumkeit tochefet et adam rak la'asot ma shetov la'atzmo. Okay. And stuff like that. All right. But at that time, you could still get away with that, you know. So the sefer was highly mekubal. Okay. Omer of Nachum Bar Yitzchak. The mitamra, mitamra. The migalya, migalya. Look, basically, the things that are in your head, those things you can play around with and nobody knows about them. Things that you do openly, those are things that are exposed. There's nothing that you're going to be able to do about that. But one thing I can tell you is that in front of the Beis Din Rabbah, litpara mehani dechafu gundi. The Beis Din HaGadol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are going to be the ones that will pay back the people who put on their big kapotas and they try to make themselves look very religious, when it's actually a literal cover-up. That's the Chofu Gundi. It's this beautiful, beautiful Meiri who says that this is the meaning. It's absolutely stunning, Pirish. Vayotzitzu ko poale oven, says the Meiri, means the poale oven always wear the longest tzitzis. Wow. Vayotzitzu ko poale oven. Brilliant. But so he seems to learn that the Gundi itself doesn't mean these black, even though the Mefarshim say Gundi is a black suit or, you know, black kapota, but he learns that it means beged with tzitzis. Anyway, Omele Yane Malka Ludovite. So when Yanai HaMelech was near death, he had an awful lot of enemies, Yanai, because of the fact that he had killed a Chachomi. And his wife was very nervous that when he died, so the Talmid Chachomim would take revenge on him and they wouldn't let the children have a position and so on. So he told her, Al Tityari Min HaPrushim, don't be worried about real people who are Prushim. And don't be worried about secular Jews. Velo mi misha einam Prushim. The only people you have to worry about are the phonies. Ela min hatzvu'im. Shedomim leprushim. They look very religious. Yeah, wow, those are the dangerous people. Shema'aseyem kema'asey zimri. U'mevakshim sachar kepinchas. So they, you know, the truth is, they're the ones who are putting out all the porn, and they're the ones who are mechalal shabbat. This is unfortunately a reality in this world, that those are mamish, the biggest chassidim, and they're going around pretending to be the Pinchas that are taking care of the world, but lemaisa, their maisim are kamaisa zimri. Those are dangerous people. Be careful. Okay, so that is the end of this, the closing course of the relationship to Saita and the question of whether stira and doing things in private, and what point that we started off with, what point of terror is megala, those things that were done privately. This all is part of this issue of the Beznet Shomala and the difference between people who like to expose what they're doing, people who like to pretend what they're doing, and people who put on shows. All nogea very much the idea of the ne'amanut of relationships of the Seita. I think we should wait for tomorrow, even though our kapitan is going to be very disappointed. Maybe in order not to disappoint our kapitan, we can do the mission and we can do it again tomorrow, so we can start the sugya. What would you say about that? It's not every day that we get the kapitan before we even have to ask. Terem tikra v'ania aneh. I mean, this is important.
Wake me up from my sleep.
All right, go ahead, kapitan. You give us.
Right. Listen, this is not for all those people who are members of the Chumrah of the month.
This is a tough stuff, right? Gabi suggested yesterday that we should pay to have this stuff put out on a beautiful scroll with a golden frame and send it out free of charge to all but the Knesset.
Well, that's the village on certain walls.
Now that was a full felt zucht. So Rabbi Shimon says, I disagree with you, as we've seen before. Ein zechut ola b'mayim amorim. You can't believe such a thing, that the zechut is going to put off the mayim amorim, because if you do, imatem omrim, hazechut ola b'mayim amorim, you are basically madheata tamayim bifnei kol anashim ashotot. You have lowered their power completely, because women are going to, they don't know from Zichut. What they know is that, listen, we know that so-and-so drank the Mayim HaMorim and nothing happened to her. She's been screwing around with so-and-so for years. And this is ridiculous. So who's going to take the Mayim seriously if you're saying there's all types of issues that could put off the Mayim? Not possible. And worse than that, all of the women who made it alive through the Mayim HaMorim and who now people feel, well, look at that. They were falsely accused and we have to respect them. And now people will say, you know what? It doesn't mean that they made it alive. It meant they had a schus, but they were all guilty. Their kids are all mamzerim. Oh my God. So you're going to be motzi shemra al ha-tohorojishatu. And they're going to say that the only reason that they made it was because there was a chut, but their kids aren't even their own kids. That's terrible. Rebbe says, There's no real contradiction in this. Schuz can be Taylor b'mayim ha'ma'orim, right? But remember that the impact of the mayim ha'ma'orim is on a woman who truly was put into a position of being falsely, well, as the Rishonim point out, it's not a false accusation. Her behavior was terrible. Why did she go and get into this room with this guy? And who knows what they've been doing in there? It sure isn't tiddlywinks. But the whole point that the Mayim HaMa'orim is doing is showing that ultimately there was no level of intimacy that was the destruction of her relationship with her husband, right? And Afal Pikein, the Torah, because of that, calls her a sota in the beginning, because that itself is sota from the Derech HaYashar. The question of why it is that the Mayim HaMa'orim would make her, who did the wrong thing, would put her into a better position, where she gets easier births, more beautiful children, becomes like Avram Avinu. That's something that I think we've written about in frameworks, and it's a very important way of understanding the element of the sota. But the point is that there's two contradictory results. One is that if she was really guilty of adultery, so then we have all of these terrible things that happened to her. And if she was not that it's false accusations, but if she was not, so then all these wonderful things happened to her. Now, those kind of things make it very evident where the mayim is just being put off, or where the mayim is actually, she made it through. Because, look, even if it's Teilah, she's not going to have any of those brachot, ena yoledet, ena mishabachat. She doesn't end up starting to look more beautiful and being more fertile. On the contrary, she starts declining immediately. Her health declines. Her look declines. And l'sof, imeta bota mita. In the end, what happens to her all in one explosive moment when she's in the Beis HaMikdash, if she has a chus that's teila, is spread out over time. But there's no way that anyone could make the mistake of saying, oh, all those women that drank and nothing happened to them, it was because of zechut. That's impossible to make that mistake. And therefore, you shouldn't understand schus teila to mean that nothing happens at all. So fine. We spoke about that early, that that was a question, whether the Chachomim argue with Rebbe on this, and this is only Rebbe, and therefore it's Nogea, the whole response of Rebbe Shimon, or whether they agree, and the only machlokus is that Rebbe holds that she's going to die b'otah mitah, and the Chachomim don't hold that she's going to die b'otah mitah, but that she will be mitnavenet. Fine, we had that early on in the Masechet. Nitmeit min chata ad shelo katcha bekli arei kechol ha-menachot. The din of her mincha in these circumstances where something happened to her and it became tamei before it went into the kli sharet. So then that's like any mincha becomes sharet tamei before kli sharet. What's the din? You're paid it because it doesn't have kedushas aguf. It's the kli sharet that gives the kedushas aguf and makes it impossible to be paid it. But im mishikichabikli, it also has the same. There's nothing special in the aspect of tuma that would be nogei the mincha saita harei kikol ha-menachot. And the halacha over there is that hers is burned like any other mincha. If it was in the kli sharet, you can't put it on the mizbeach anymore, and you have to burn it. So I think we can learn the other cases tomorrow with the conclusion of the Mishnah, because we're going to start again. We just wanted to get in those glorious words from our Kapitan. Okay, gentlemen, watch out for the phonies. See you and have a wonderful day. Bizarcha, all of us, the Bisorot Tovot, Yeshuot V'Nechamot, should be the day of Hoshiat Amecho, Varechet Nachalatecha. Kol Tov, everyone.